What's up, everyone? A couple housekeeping notes before we get started. This coming Friday, October 13th, at the Oxnard Performing Arts Center, we are doing an event called Talking Nardcore. It's a live discussion on the 40-plus year history of Nardcore. So I hope I see you all there. Come check it out. We're doing a discussion. We got a slideshow. And you know, episode one, the legend, Joe Rivas, his band Out of Trust is going to play. They're going to do a selection of originals plus Nardcore classics. So I'll see you all there this Friday at the OPAC. Also, as a companion piece to that, I made a fanzine called Nardcore 1981 to Infinity, 74 pages on the history of Nardcore. I will have it there at that event. You can come buy it from me. And also, if you don't make it out on Friday night, there will be copies available at Shining Life Press. So you can go to shininglifepress.com and get it there. If it's not up now, it'll be up sometime this week. So, you know, put them in your favorites, dude. It's all sick shit coming out of there. That Contention book, the In Effect book, the Hardware book. Get that shit, you posers. Also, wanted to give a few shout-outs here before we get into the show. You know, we talk a lot of new music on the pod, but we don't get to everything. There is stuff from January that I loved that we never got to. And yeah, there's big records we skip. It is what it is. But yeah, I wanted to shout out a few things here. First of all, the War Is Hell demo that came out. Newer band out of Tehachapi, California. Respect. Warishell.bandcamp.com. Handle business. Also, the dudes who do the What It Takes Instagram account. Cool ass account. It's a good way to stay current on what's going on in hardcore. They do a better job than we do. So give them a follow. Some of the dudes from that account put out an EP. Their band is called Collective Action. They put out an EP called Don't Go It Alone. So check that out. It's on Spotify and all the spots. And also, finally, shout out to Stone Man, the Wild Man. He put out his second EP, and he's handling business, dude. Over 7,000 listeners on some true YOLO shit. So respect. Everyone, hardcore rules. Let's get on with the pod. Questions and answers.
Introducing first, the challenger, fighting out of the hard corner. The belt is on their mind, and Dan Sant is running out of time. Hailing from the greatest planet in the Milky Way, it is the number one contender in the world!
Ben Merlis, a.k.a. Ben Edge, a.k.a. Bedge.
And his opponent, fighting out of the core corner, from parts unknown, weight unknown. Reason he didn't pick Minor Threat in the Straight Edge Super 7, unknown. It is the reigning, defending, undisputed 185 Miles South Trivia Champion of the World, Daniel, these questions are too easy, Sant!
All right, we're switching up a little bit because Dan is undefeated, like 25 episodes in a row. We're playing winners. And Dan, so the first question is going to go to you. Dan, what was the name of the hotel that Sid Vicious allegedly killed his girlfriend Nancy at?
The Chelsea Hotel.
A point to the champ. All right, kicking it off correctly. All right, we go to the challenger, Ben Edge. Ben, what was the name of the pre-Generation X band that had three quarters of its members?
Chelsea.
A point to Ben. All right. Go back to the champ for his question two. Dan, what is the choice haircut of fine ass birds all across the globe?
A Chelsea.
A point to the champ. All right. And we go to Ben for his number two. Ben, 9 months after Bill Clinton raw dogged Hillary, who popped out?
Chelsea Clinton.
That's just a gag. We'll go to you for your real number two. Okay, Ben, on the B-side label of the Chain of Strength True Till Death 7-inch, how many X's are there?
Two.
A point to Ben. Damn, we're flying through, and everyone is batting 1,000. Go to Dan. A little harder here. Ceremony famously hails from Ronert Park, California. Did I pronounce that right?
Ronert Park,
California. Who was the first punk band to hail from this town? Hint, a member put out an In Control CD.
Oh. Spaz?
We go to Ben for the potential steal. Ben, Ceremony famously hails from Ronert Park, California. Who was the first punk band to hail from this town? Hint, a member put out an In Control CD.
Was it Capitalist Casualties?
A steal. How about that? Yeah, Jeff emailed me and gave me that fun fact.
What?
All right. Capitalist Casualties. Jeff from 6 Weeks Records put out that In Control CD, Breaking the Curse.
I thought someone from Spaz put that out.
No. A different power violence band that didn't give In Control a bad review in Maximum Rock and Roll. Manlet. Okay. We go to Ben for his number three. Ben, who played bass for the Adolescents on their 2005 LP OC Confidential?
Was it Steve Soto?
We go to Dan for the potential steal. How could you not know that, Ben? What the fuck? Dan, who played bass for the Adolescents on their 2005 LP OC Confidential?
What year was it?
2005. A critical album in the Adolescents catalog.
Oh, God. I only know of two bass players, and only because Ben has discussed this in the past. Was it Warren?
No points this round. It was actually Derek O'Brien of Social D and DI Fame.
Really?
Oh. He was the drummer. Ben had a shot at it.
He was the drummer at the time, so maybe he just did both.
Maybe. Or maybe I read it wrong, and this is controversy a brewing. I didn't have Ben this time to do a fact check me.
you should have just let me fact check everything then.
That's true. Well, you are real time on your computer. Okay, we go to Dan for his number four. Dan, this is a before and after. Do you remember the premise?
Yes. A Wheel of Fortune type thing?
That is correct. Like Youth of Today is a Day, something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Before and after. Dan, the band who wrote the greatest hardcore song of all time and a song about skateboarding by Underdog.
I've got the first part, I think. So is the God, I'm going to look like such a poser.
I know. This is the fear of trivia. Because I think I would whiff on every single question you guys gave me and then know it immediately after.
Yeah. I feel like it's evading my mind what the song it's called. Maybe I'm getting it wrong. I don't know.
Now I'm worried that I'm getting it wrong again. Fuck.
Well, maybe I'm getting what you were thinking is the greatest hardcore song of all time. I'm going to say Agnostic Front Side. That was my guess. Or Agnostic Front Say It to My Face.
I will not comment, but I will say we go to Ben for the potential steal. Ben, before and after. Band who wrote the greatest hardcore song of all time and a song about skateboarding by Underdog.
Agnostic Front Side Grind.
A point to Ben. Dan, so close. I didn't want to acknowledge it because I didn't want to give away. Well, the kid's mohawk is either green or blue for sure.
Yeah, I'm so much more familiar with the 7-inch than the LP.
I only gave it to you because I thought that you had just made a joke in the group side chat about someone front side grinding in front of Heartwork.
Oh, I don't know if I did.
Okay. Anyway. Okay. We go to Ben for his next question. This is question number four. Ben, before and after, band who wrote the American punk rock classic Disconnected and a band off the first Only the Strong compilation.
Oh, I can get this one.
Well, you can potentially steal if Ben brain farts.
Face to face value.
A point to Ben. Oh, shit. Ben's a challenger when I'm not sandbagging him, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Now, this is a new thing. Shit, I got to pull it up. But I'm going to play a short clip, like 5 to 7 seconds of the beginning of a song. And you got to name that song. We're going to Dan first. And here it is. You get this one.
Bold.
Dan, name that song.
Bold, talk is cheap.
All right. A point to the champ. Back in the game. And we go to Ben for his. Let's see here. This is this button.
Youth of Today, One Family.
A point to Ben. Not to be confused with Chain of Strength, Never Understand.
I know it's very similar, but that's not the beginning part of Never Understand. So.
That is correct. Okay, Dan, we go to you for one more of these. Let's see what button. Oh, it's the green one.
Count Me Out. Best of Me.
A point to the champ.
Woo.
Hell yeah. Dude, that clip was short as hell.
I know. I know. I had to like continue the singing like part in my head.
I can't believe how short though. Great job. He's a champ for a reason, people. Okay. Ben, let's go to you for your next one. Let's see here. Blue button.
A Chorus of Disapproval. The song is Full Circle Stop.
You know, that's actually a really good guess, but nope. Let me go to Dan. And let's see here, Dan. Here it is for you.
This is what Ben is giving me right now during this trivia. This is nothing but a beatdown by Bulldoze.
Point to the champ. A solid steal. I love it. Okay, and let's see here. A point to Dan. Let's subtotal this shit. Dan, you have 5 points, a noble score for a man from a noble country. Ben, you have 6 points. Ben, how many do you want to wager? And actually, let's kick it off here.
What? What? Okay.
Ben, of your 6 points, how many would you like to wager here?
I'd like to wager 1 point.
All right, Ben wagers 1 point. And Dan, of your 5 points, how many would you like to wager?
5.
Grown-ass man doing grown-ass man shit. Got to respect it. Okay, this is the first on the pod. Actually, you guys are getting something from the same chorus. So Dan, you're going to get the first two lines of this, and Ben, you get the second two. So Dan, you get 1, 2. Ben, you get 3 and 4. Let's rock this shit.
Fire! That was just two lines?
Yeah, well, it went two times.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so you got a couple times there. Okay, here we go. Let's give it another shot. Now, we don't need to know what notes are that bass line that's going to kick off. But, Dan, are we getting close? You want to hear it one more time?
Yes, please. It's hard. All right.
You guys got to agree when you're ready, because once you fire off. Okay, one more time. Last time here. Here we go. Right, Ben, let's go to you first for your two lines.
Backfire on the Unity, backfire, you'll never break me.
So close. But no, so Ben, you lose a point. You are down to 5. Dan, what do you think?
I mean, he's pretty close, I feel. I feel like he says... earlier in the song, he's like, now all I've got is Ben. Can I hear it one more time? Because I've got Ben's. Feel like it's backfire, you lied to me, backfire, disrespect me.
Fuck, Dan, you got one. But defeated by the referee, dude. This is like Earl Hebner coming in and fucking squashing the one-man gang.
He's dangerous Danny Davis in me.
That's right. Dangerous Danny Davis. Fucking over the British Bulldogs, dude. How about that? It goes backfire right in your face. Backfire, disrespect me. Backfire, only use our scene. Backfire, no loyalty. Everyone come up front, sing along, pile on, skinhead, hardcore, what's up?
There's no way in hell he's saying right in your face. There's no way in hell he's saying right in your face.
I would have given you, if you said in your face, I would have given it to you.
I know. I should have said, is he channeling the best backfire song?
Ben, how does it feel?
Well done, Ben.
It feels great to win. Also, Steve Soto did in fact play bass on OC Confidential, so I actually finished with 6 points.
All right.
Or 7, because you just got one in the... No, you didn't get one.
No. The question is, would he have bet an extra point? in that final round. Who knows? Okay, we're brewing for a rematch again at some point because you guys are 1-1. That's Burley.
True.
But yeah, Ben, respect. And Dan, I'm sure you're going to show up next time undefeated again. So respect.
You know it.
185milessouth.com.
Smash that Patreon button. Don't you understand?
South, a hardcore punk rock podcast.
What's up, everyone? We are back and talking hardcore. Helping out, you know him, you love him. It is the best dressed man on the pod. It is Daniel Sant. What's up, Dan?
Get the fuck away from me. I think I'm going to be sick.
Also helping out, 6'2". What you going to do? It is the mighty, mighty Posse Chris. What's up, Chris?
What's up? I was going to start doing a thing where I start pulling over my dead body quotes and seeing if Dan catches them, like make them a little bit more obscure and see how long it takes for him to catch on. But you know what? It's hockey season, so I'm going to stick with the classic. What's cracking?
Yeah, go side B on Over My Dead Body first LP and grab some obscure out of there, dude. We'll see if Dan knows his own lyrics or not. Okay, jumping right in. Chris, we are recording this on Tuesday, October 3rd. It's coming out in 6 days. You will currently be in Europe when this episode comes out. You will have played a handful of shows already. But let everyone know what is going on and if they will still have a chance to see you while you're out there.
Yeah, if you're listening to this when it goes live on Monday, you will have missed or maybe caught our show in Paris yesterday. And then the previous day, you would have seen us at Three Swords Fest in London. You would have seen Bordy just smashing fools, stage diving like crazy. I think he did like 32 stage dives, so respect. And then, yeah, the next few shows we got coming up, we're playing Belgium, what would be tonight. And then a few shows in Germany, Poland, back to Berlin. And then everyone's flying home and I'm going to the Greek Isles to just chill for a week and make sure I don't have COVID and bring it home to my wife again.
Damn. That rules. Chris, what a millionaire.
Yeah, tell them the account so they can go and find everything. What's the change Instagram?
Yeah, at Instagram, it will be at Change Hardcore.
And, yeah, handle business, people. Handle business. And yeah, not a bunch of underscores in that one, huh?
Nope. And I was going to say we don't really use the Twitter anymore because like Elon sucks.
Yeah, and I would like to see if Staffan makes the way from Sweden down to say what's up to Chris in either Germany or Poland or wherever.
Oh yeah, he was at the Paris show last night, just like acting a fool.
Yeah, you know, I saw Staffan and Bordy do a cross stage Superman dive high five combo in a photo. It's the greatest hardcore photo of all time.
And then a Unity Mosh / Wall of Death.
That's right. And finally, a crowd killer from the stage got stabbed. So rest in piss. So hell yeah. Okay, let's get into it. We're jumping right into new music. First thing I want to talk is an LP that came out on Toxic State Records. The band is Stigmatism. The LP is titled Ignorance in Power. Band hailing out of New York City and Montreal. So a giant swath of land that they're staking claim to. And Dan, this thing is a ripper. 13 songs, 11 minutes. What did you think?
This thing fucking rips. I find it to be, you know, if we're going to put it in a recipe, it's like two parts Youth Crew, one part early roots core and one part straight up, don't forget the struggle, don't forget the streets and then stir in a circle, in a counterclockwise circle, and then mosh it onto your chef's head. This thing rules. It's got great backups. It's got great breakdowns. It's got short songs that don't hang around at all, that just give you everything. I think my favorite song is Big Larry, which is right in the middle of the LP, like track 8, I think, 7 or 8. But I mean, everything about it, it comes out the gate ripping and it goes all the way, and there is no fat. It is all, and there's nothing wrong with being fat, but there is no excess on this thing. It is streamlined and fucking great. Really enjoyed this.
Yeah, the recording is so good. It's super raw. You can hear everything. And this dude's voice is just is great. It reminds me so much of something I can't put my finger on. I don't know. But his voice is so killer. In fact, I wish it was just like a tad bit louder. You know, because like this thing is a ripper. Again, 13 songs in 11 minutes and sounds great. But yeah, there's not like a big hook in it, you know, and I wonder if that's because the vocals are mixed like a little bit loud or a little bit low or what. But like this thing rages. I just take it in. I've listened to it a ton of times since it popped up on Spotify. So probably like legit 10, 15 times.
Awesome. Yeah, me too. I've listened to it a lot in this week. Do you get that vibe that I'm saying? Like there's some Don't Forget the Struggle, Don't Forget the Streets kind of like groove to it. I mean, the songs don't unfold as much as a Warzone song does, but like on that song Big Larry and there is some of that like heavy vibe of that, I feel.
I think it's straight AF, like somewhere between the 7-inch and Victim in Pain. You know, somewhere between United Blood and Victim in Pain.
And, you don't hear the Youth Crew stuff in there as well?
No, maybe if I listen to it now, I'll hear it. But like, I think it's pretty. It sounds pretty like one influence. You know, like I don't know, or just of that era, right? Like, maybe there's some Mob 7-inch, maybe there's some Antidote, maybe some Abused, like in there. Like it's like, but it's 83, 84 New York hardcore.
For sure, there's so much more roots in it, but when I listen to some of the breakdowns, especially on a couple of the earlier songs, I just was like, oh shit, this is giving me like up rocking like Youth Crew parts to it as well.
Yeah, and maybe when I listen to it again, I'll hear that. The one thing I'd say about this record is like it is just like a straight ripping Punisher, that like it's a really, really, really good record. And actually, it's like one of my favorite records of the year. And so, like, I think that, like, when you hear something this good, you almost get, like, a little more critical of it because, like, you want it to be perfect because it's so close. And I just wish the record had, like, a cut-up song. You know, like how Victim in Pain has Power or the End It, like, they cap it off with, like, With Time. You know, if this record had – and, like, there is one – slower song, like one mid-tempo song on this record, but I actually think it's like the worst song on the record. Like if this had like a Protest and Survive, like a true mid-tempo banger, or like a song like Power that cut it up, or like a With Time, like a big ender, I think this could be like easily LP of the year.
Or even just a sick longer sample to like give you just that breathing room before it launches back in, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. A sample wouldn't make it the album of the year for me. But, like, yeah, that would cut it up. Like, that would be an idea. And like, they're probably just going for the punishment, right? You know, but I think it's, like, so much better than, like, you know, like a fast hardcore record. Like, it – because the recording is so perfect for the style, right? And, like, the dude's voice along with, like, the recording is, like, so great. But anyway, Chris, what do you think?
I got a hook for you. False reality, false reality, false reality.
Yep, you're right. It's like the beginning of the third song, right? For sure.
I think that's my favorite song, though.
It's a good hook, though. Favorite song?
It's my least favorite on the record is False Reality.
How about that? We're all over the place.
On episode 212, get in the archives. Zach was talking about how if there was a band today doing like Sick of It All for 7-inch / first LP, he'd be their number one fan. I'm curious if this scratches some of that itch, because to me, it certainly vibes like early AF. Like, that's the first thing I noticed. But like, the more I listened to it, it really to me sounded like a mesh of the first AF 7-inch and LP and the first Sick of It All 7-inch and LP. Did either of you guys hear any of that Sick of It All in there?
Here's the thing, dude. Like, again, yeah. Let me say I'm only being critical because I love this thing so much, you know? And like, with you talking about that, Chris, like me wanting a Sick of It All first 7-inch band, yes, this is close, but what it doesn't do and what like a lot of bands don't do now is like write hooks. Like, there's no like big choruses here. And I think the
like you.
Or anything on that 7-inch, right? Like, and I think that part of the reason for that is like hardcore is old now, you know? So like, there's a lot of in Sick of It All and just shit in the 80s, right? You can be like the first one to come up with a cliche line, right? And make it be your chorus, you know? And like, this is 35 years later, you know? And so like, you can't just, you don't have those hooks. You gotta, you know, come up with something a little different. And so like, you can't have like these, you know, generic sayings because someone's already said them on the chorus, right? Like, I don't know. I think, and I also think that people are like, I'm not accusing stigmatism of this, but I think that a lot of bands like are really worried about being called corny or cheesy, you know? So they stay away from things that they think might be construed as corny or cheesy, right? And like, a lot of times that's the stuff that is like the hook, something that like hooks you into the song, you know? I don't know.
For sure. And I think we're going to talk later about a great example of a band that leaned all the way into the corny and cheesy and made it super memorable. Teaser. But yeah, back to stigmatism. Yeah, I love this. Super sick. You know, I agree with Zach to an extent. Like, there are, like, if there were more hooks, this would be like all-time classic, but I also agree that as is, it's one of the best things of the year so far. I'm putting it right up there with the Restraining Order, although the Restraining Order certainly has like some of those hooks.
And variety.
Yeah, for sure. 13 songs under 11 minutes, lots of blazing fast with hard traditional breakdowns. There's some bass breaks that kind of bring in that Last Warning United Blood vibe a little bit. The vocals, like some of the cadence kind of hits on that Luke Kohler kind of cadence, and even has a little bit of that raspiness too. But yeah, I like this a lot. Hope I get to see him live someday. Canada's kind of it costs so much for Canadian bands to come to the US, like if they're going to do it safe and do it with visas. And that's just an unfortunate reality. There's a lot of badass Canadian bands right now, and so many of them are just not even bothering come to the US because it will cost them like thousands of dollars to get visas. Otherwise they're risking like being banned from the country, and it's tragic. This is one of them.
Well, there's one other thing that we should discuss is the artwork is sick. You know, you've got the classic neutron bomb going off in the background, but my favorite little feature of it, like it's like a dilapidated like neighborhood, like all broken down and smashed up, but there's like a manhole cover like moved and someone's just sticking a middle finger out from the sewer, and that thing just cracked me up.
Yeah. I assume Spoiler did the art, because Spoiler from Justice and Omegas is in this band and was one of the most popular like hardcore artists from like, I don't know, the aughts, and that's totally his style to have some weird little thing like a middle finger coming out of a sewer. It's awesome.
I'm so glad you called that out, Dan, because that's great. Yeah, this is like fully in the running for record of the year. Like, and Chris, that's a great call out with the Restraining Order. It's a good comparison because they're both like, you know, I guess, you know, when I interviewed Restraining Order, we talked about like how they shouldn't be called a fast hardcore band, but like, you know, they're both roots hardcore, right? So, but yeah, the Restraining Order record is cut up a bit more, you know? And so like these both excel in similar lanes, but like this is a little more brute, and like the restraining order is a little more catchy. Like their mid-tempo shit is super spectacular. So yeah. All right, hell yeah. Stigmatism. Let's see. Yeah. Ignorance in Power. Toxic State Records. Everyone handle business. Okay. Dan, we got to go to you to pronounce this next one because it's French and you took French in high school. So what is this one?
Coupe Gorge or Coupe Gorge. Because everything's capitalized, you can't see if there's an accent over the E of coupe. But you know what's so funny? I was listening to this at the shop today and we had some customers from Paris came in and I started talking to them and they were actually into hardcore and oi.
That's awesome.
And so that was awesome. And I was like, okay, so it means like cutthroat, right? And they were like, well, yes, it does mean like either cutthroat or throat cutter, but the actual reality, like the real term of it, it means like a completely broken down neighborhood. It's like French slang, which directly translates to cutthroat to us, but it is French slang for like what we would say like Skid Row or you know, a different kind of neighborhood like that that's completely like dilapidated and dangerous. So that was pretty cool to find out today.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Dude, a French double entendre. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Silence des Morts, is that correct?
Yeah. Silence of Death or Death in Silence.
Yeah. This LP is so good. Dan, what did you think?
Okay. You're nominating the last one for Record of the Year. This is up there for me. This thing rules so much. It's giving like, you know, the Froy we love. For new listeners to the pod, we pronounce all the French kind of oi-esque bands as Froy. But this is like ripping punk as well as having some oi vibes, but also having some absolutely triumphant sounding music. Like, I find like the melodies and the leads that they use have such a triumphant sound to them on some of these songs, and then also sometimes have like just a really amazing like fragility to them at the same time. I really love the song Vengeance. That song, for the first few times I was listening to it, I thought he was saying bonne chance, which means good luck. But he was actually saying vengeance, which is vengeance. That song rules. It's so moody. The intro also, I've totally skated past that. There's a instrumental intro that is so good. The sound of this and the recording are like married, like perfectly. I think the recording really enhances what this band is doing, and also the lyrical, or not the lyrical, the vocal choices of when to have backups and not is so perfectly spread throughout the record. It's 12 songs, and you might, you know, in this day and age with our short attention spans, you might be like, oh my god, that is, you know, long, especially when some of these songs are 2 minutes and 40 seconds long. This thing just goes so fast that you like instantly want to drop the needle back on it again at the beginning.
Yeah, it's 12 songs, but it's only 20 minutes.
Yeah. So good. What did you think?
Dude, this is so good. This month, you know, we didn't choose a whole ton of stuff to talk about because I thought we might go long on everything. These first two are contenders for Record of the Year. Like, that Stigmatism is so good. And this is so good in a different way, right? Like, it's interesting. You know, Stigmatism actually has 13 songs. This has 12. This is an extra 9 minutes. It's still 20 minutes, right? It's a little under 20 minutes. But, like, This thing is very epic. Like, it takes you for a real ride. Like, the intro is good because it, like, actually, it's very nice and it builds into the first song. It actually, like, crescendos up to the first song. It's great. Yeah. It's exactly what you want. If you're not going for a hard hitting intro and you're going for, like, kind of a vibe building intro, it's a perfect rendition, right? Yeah. And then it kicks in, and that first song is so nice. Like, on the verse, when, like, he adds a little, like, one finger leaves, like the ding, 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 ding. So good. It's like, it's just, you know, when you write songs, there's a sweet spot, right? You write them and they're fresh and they're, you know, raw and aggressive. And then the more and more you practice them and work them, they can get better. They can also, like, get overworked and, like, you know, lose some of that original magic. And, like, I really feel like these songs, they got worked just enough, you know, like, they're like, oh, let's try that. And then, like, oh, maybe don't do that. You know, it's like, cause they just tuck in enough of those, like, little, you know, single note-y guitar leads that really cut this thing up, you know? And then also, like, the way it starts is, like, very serious, right? Like, that intro and then this first song being, like, a really, really great hardcore song with, like, a little bit of melody. Like, they're not afraid to fucking YOLO it, you know? Because, like, they got Scissor Beat songs on here, which are so awesome and cut up the record. And then also, Dan, you called out the song, the Vengeance song.
Yeah.
That one is, like, a dark droner, you know? Like, it's, like, slower, it's dark, and it really cuts up the record. So, yeah. Like, it's kind of like, I don't know where it is, like the fifth or sixth slot. And it's like, kind of like, here's halftime, you know? And then they come out of that song too, because they're like, okay, well, here's like the slow song on the record. Of course, they come out of it with like a Scissor Beat song, right? So it's like the sequencing on this thing is so great, takes you for a ride. And yeah, listening to it, like, you know, sometimes I do feel like it gets a little long towards the end because we're so ADD now, you know? Yeah. But like, really, this is just such a great hardcore record that it's like, it needs to, this is a band that should have done an LP. You know, like, I don't know how many bands out there I want to put out more than six songs at a time. And I don't know if anyone needs to anymore. Like, I don't really understand the point of an LP anymore. You know, before it would be like, because it can, you know, turn a better profit. So you could like get into a nicer studio, get the money to get into a nicer studio. Right. And like, then the label could afford to put you into that nicer studio and so forth. But now with like everything being online and, you know, people not making a ton of money off the physical copies, like, I don't know. I think it's almost like a bands, they could put out four songs a year, like indefinitely and just never break up. You know, I don't know.
I feel like, an LP, when it's really thought out and it's really sequenced and the artwork and everything as one beautiful piece of art, as an expression of like, we've worked so hard on this and this is our like magnum opus type thing, I think that is amazing when that happens.
Yeah, but even then you could just do like a 10 song like EP. Like, if you look at stuff in like the 80s, like the Stalag 13 In Control, 12 inch, you know, it's like nine songs. It's like a perfect length.
Oh, you know? Yeah. I'm just saying, like, if someone, especially, you know, if the band is coming together and they really are, this is what we're trying to get across as a general feeling from the record, this is blah, blah, blah. I totally respect all that. On the flip side, I do think the days of, you know, well, we've got 15 songs, let's put them all out. No, edit, like, give us just the, you know, the top of the pops is so much better than just giving us filler. But there's no filler on this record.
No. There's not. But I don't know. Like, would I love it more if it was 10 songs? Maybe. You know, I don't know. Because, like, I don't know. I love this thing, though. Like, I really think that, like, it's a spectacular band and, like, they needed to do an LP. Chris, yeah. What do you think about this?
I love it. Yeah, this is okay. So this is two members of Syndrome 81, and then the singer is kind of the person that's behind. I may be butchering the pronunciation of this, but it's like a solo project called. It's spelled C U I R. Kerr. Dan. Cur. All right. Which I assumed was like a cur, like a dog in English, but it actually translates to leather, which is interesting because I don't know if you guys have heard this band yet, but it's pretty cool. It's like a synth punk band. But the singer wears like a leather, like a leather balaclava,
like, looks like the Gimp kind
of. Yeah, exactly. I think it's pink. Anyways, yeah. So the singer of that project and then two members of Syndrome 81. Yeah, I love it. You know, melodic Froy, you guys said it. This is a bit less melodic than some of the others we've talked about, Syndrome 81 and Prisoner of Time. And then I think where Prisoner of Time leans more into Criminal Damage, like there's melodies on this that remind me a lot more of Tragedy, especially like, so that song Vengeance has a heavy Tragedy vibe, especially that intro. It's like, that intro and that bass line and guitar line get stuck in my head so hard. It's like such a sick part.
The bass sounds great too.
Yeah, for sure. There's a lot of, you guys covered this as well. There's a lot of tempos on this. It goes slow, it goes rock steady, it goes driving, it goes blazing fast, scissor beat. And there's even like, I'm gonna butcher this because it's not really what it is, but it gives me almost like Beastie Boys style like drum breaks that are like, I don't know, they just kind of have that like almost Beastie Boys attitude, and then like the singer, the way that the singer is chanting over it is like so epic. There's a lot of parts where you're listening to this record and like it's moody and like, you know, it's easy for you to kind of get you know, go about your day doing other things, but then something will pop out and be like, whoa, this part is sick. Like I need to rewind the song and listen to it again. And, I don't know, there's a lot of little, like little tricks and hooks on it. I think it's not far from Syndrome 81, but it's more, I don't know. It's more, it's just more of more variance and more, I don't know, more aggression maybe.
Yeah, and then Syndrome 81 is more straight Froy, right? And this is more straight hardcore.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, there's certainly like some, there's some songs on here like the title track is pretty like Syndrome 81 vibes, but then like, you know, like Vengeance is like straight up Tragedy. Colere Interne is like blazing fast scissor beats and then like breaks into one of those Beastie Boy parts at the 16 seconds. So yeah, there's a lot of different stuff going on. It's certainly different. I think the mood is more what kind of reminds me of Syndrome 81 at times, and like the production and like the guitar tones. But I think the vocals are done a little bit differently too. Like I think the vocals in Syndrome 81 to me are like more, maybe more sophisticated, more smooth and like more molassesy, whereas these are a little bit more boisterous and like staccato-y and belted out. So it's certainly not just, you know, a rehash of their other band. It's a lot different, but like, if you like Syndrome 81, you're probably going to like this. The intro, one other thing on the intro, like it almost gives me like adventure metal vibes, you know, like Manowar or something like melodic and triumphant.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. Some of the riffs are so triumphant where you're like marching and saluting.
I've never heard that adventure metal. Jesus.
Dude, that's Chris, the genre, the Manowar genre.
Chris has got to name all genres from now on.
Yeah. When we played, I'm trying to think where we were. We were in Albany in 2002 or 2003. And someone at the show was talking about how like they just saw Manowar, like, you know, within the last few months. And I guess they had gone on like a giant tour or something in 98, and they still have like leftover tour shirts that they were selling like 5 years later.
Respect.
I know. So good. Okay, everyone, I'm going to butcher this, but it's Coop George, Silence Day Mort. It's on Offside Records, and I hope this gets distarred in America. I actually really want this. I think it's one of the best records of the year. I'm gonna get this, and I'm gonna get the Stigmatism LPs, because like, goddamn. Okay, let's go on. What's that?
Chris and I have this.
You already bought it?
Yeah, it's in the mail.
Oh shit! Yeah, I think you're right. You put it out to the group chat, huh? And I passed. Yep. And then I listened to it 10 times, like for this episode. No, I love it. God damn it. Yeah. Well, hell yeah. I'll get one at some point. Maybe Sorry State will get it. We'll see.
If you're listening to this or Zach, like the shipping from France that these guys do, like it's not too crazy. Like I feel like I've bought records from Canada that have been way more expensive. So I don't know. Check it out on their Bandcamp.
Hell yeah. Okay, we are going on to a band out of Australia called Brute. They did a self-titled EP. I believe it's digi only. Saw it on Bandcamp. It's up on Spotify. Chris, I think you wanted to do this one. How do you feel about it?
Man, this is like a straight up just like oi podcast at this point. mostly like the melodic oi. I don't know. Yeah, I like this a lot. This is another reco from Matt Bandy from the Village Hardcore Crew. Came out in June, so we're a few months behind on this one. But yeah, when he pointed me to this, I really like it. It's more that melodic, moody oi, but this time it's out of Australia, not France. I couldn't figure out where exactly what city they're from because. All the stuff I saw just said Australia, but I assume Melbourne because I saw some stuff with them playing with Marching Orders, who I think is from there. But I don't know. To me, this is like – so we talked about the band Rancor a couple weeks ago, and this gets real moody like that, but it doesn't sound anything at all like it. Like, and then with Rancor – I feel like the songs that were hitting me more were the more driving kind of like rock steady or like, the songs like we talked about with Camera Silence where they'd be moody, but then there would be like pit parts where you could slam with your homies. but this band, I feel like the opposite. I feel like they're more slammy street punk songs are just a little like they're fine, but like the, I don't know, the apex, the high point for me is when they just get super moody and it's like they really lean into like the Joy Division meets Coxbar. I don't know. Like the singer's voice is a little bit higher, like in that more Coxbar register. Maybe not quite that high, but I don't know. It's just super, super vibey, which is interesting. You know, for a genre like oi that is built on like riot music vibes and like taking the aggression of like throwing bricks at cop cars or whatever, like smashing bottles and like just reversing that and taking all that aggression almost completely out of it and making it just really sad sounding and melancholy seems like a choice that shouldn't work, but it just works so well for them. I really like this. I think it's 5 or 6 songs. My highlights are the opening track and the closing track. Glory Days is the closing track. That song, listen to it 2 times and good luck not having that song stuck in your head all day.
Yeah, also respect for like naming your band after a popular men's cologne. I wonder if that's gonna take off, you know. Who's gonna be Cool Water? Who's gonna be Obsession? Who's gonna be Eternity? What's up?
But nice. Brute's kind of like the cheap cologne, right? Like the
That's true. Yeah. Before there was Axe Body Spray, there was Brute.
Yeah.
So, hell yeah. Yeah, this is great. Very moody. And like, if you played it for me, I would definitely think this is Froy. You know, like it has all those vibes. It's like that moody oi, right? It's like Oi for a cloudy day, you know? And there's a lot on here that I like. I love all the little one finger guitar leads. In fact, like that lead at the beginning of New Voice is like so screeching weasel. I know that like they're not pulling from that, but like, good God, man. Like that's the shit I love, you know, for like melodic punk. This guy's got such a killer voice and he can like really push it. It's awesome when he pushes it and still stays tuneful. Like this is a guy with a legit good ass voice. So, that's sick. The songs are a little long for me. If I was going to be, you know, Discerning Dan or Critical Chris here, almost every single song I could shave. Like, I mean, I would almost cut every single song in half, you know,
that's zany Zach.
That's right. I would just butcher these songs because they all got big parts, right? They all got hooks, with the guitar, with the vocals, but you know, they're leaning into some pretty straightforward choruses here. And it's like, I don't know, you know, Chris is saying Glory Days, you want to hear it again. And like, yeah, but I feel like I heard it twice, like by listening the song once, you know, I wish it was like cut down and I'd be like, fuck, I hear that again. Like one of those songs where like, it's so catchy. You listen to it six times in a row. Like they really, they wrote good choruses on these songs. Right. And so like, they all get a little repeaty, just cause they know they got like a good chorus, right? They got a hook. So, they really roll with them. And yeah, I mean, that's all I would say. Like for my dumbass ear, like I wish all these songs were like 2 minutes and like, you know, most of them were over three. One, like the last one was like almost four. So that's all. But, otherwise this is great. And I think this was a good suggestion, Chris. What do you think, Dan?
I love this. I love it so much. I love, you know, Oi for a Cloudy Day. I mean, that's another great genre that we are going to roll with from now on. But what I love about this, and I think I said that on the Rancor, and it's good that you like position it against that because yeah, they don't sound a lot alike at all, but production choice, like this also sounds like it could be like three imaginary boys production era, like early Cure, like that kind of vibe. The production absolutely makes the way this band wants to sound, enhances it tenfold. I bet you live they still sound like absolutely amazing. And this pod tonight, we're just talking about bands that are doing simple leads that are just making the song so much better. Like you know what's interesting, like so the first song, We Still Believe, which has, just for the listener who hasn't listened to this yet, you're gonna love this song. The chorus is, "We still believe in Oi." Fuck yes.
Hell yeah.
We still believe in it. You know, we sing about the fight with United Voice. We still believe in Oi. I love it. I love the sincerity of that messaging. Cause I do too. I fucking still believe in it. So, but what's awesome is like the chorus vocal melody is then, I don't know. You tell me if I'm wrong, you two, because you're way more musical than I. But the next song, Revenant, shout out Leo. The next song, Revenant, like the lead is the same melody as the vocal melody from the last song, but it's just a little lead going into it, or at least that's how I hear it. And that song rules too. I think the production on this, like, the way the vocals are really moodily in the pocket, but so bright vocal performance wise, but the production holds it back from being as bright, just makes it so good and so catchy and so timeless. There's a thing that's going on in music right now, and I'm fucking here for it. You know, like Homefront, this, Syndrome 81, all of this stuff, like not just channeling like the Oi classics of the past that we love, but channeling all the interesting things that Oi became on the cusp before it, before the marshmallow fell off the stick, to quote Zany Zach. It really being in that like kind of new wavy Oi like pocket is so interesting. These bands are putting out such amazing music. I'm so here for it. Like, I'm so glad we're living in this time. To for this record, the third song, New Voice, so good. The new voice of the street, like, is the refrain on the chorus. Absolutely love it. Yeah, that's one that I found myself singing over and over again. But then I can get rid of track four, Eye for an Eye. This song is just, I mean, I know it is breaking up the record and it's giving a little bit more of like more of a just an aggressive punk version of Oi, but it just is kind of boring compared to the rest. And then the Glory Days, Move Over Bruce Springsteen. There's a better song about Glory Days.
Dan, Eye for an Eye needs to be there though, because like it is more up-tempo. And like it really lets the drummer rip. Like, this drummer is pretty spectacular. Like, if you listen to that little part where the guitar hook goes between the choruses, it's so sick when the drummer goes from like the close hi-hat to like the open sizzle of opening it.
Yeah, I can totally get behind you on the way that the song sounds musically. I just think the Eye for an Eye vocal refrain and like chant at the beginning and choruses, it's really boring vocal choice.
Yes. That chorus is like too repeaty.
Yeah. Because,
you know? I mean, the guy's not trying to like, you know, reinvent the wheel here on his choruses, right? And so sometimes it really works, right? Like, we are the new voice of the street. Like, that works really well. And then, you know, saying Eye for an Eye a bunch of times, like, doesn't work, you know?
Because so like, way more shouty, where his pocket is doing those melodic anthem-y style deliveries on the choruses, you know?
Yeah. But again, it's like, you know, is this, I feel like I'm complaining on both ends, right? Like,
Why,
I wish Stigmatism wrote like the big, you know, hooks. And then like this one, I'm like, stop with the big hooks. You know, it's getting too samey. Like, I'm just an asshole, you know?
But this is five songs of just really well-crafted, tuneful, amazing street punk that is one nod to Goth Nights with Smoke Machines. You know, just a very slight nod to that, because it is way more in the street punk lane. But the production choice is really rounding it in that early 80s. Where Oi moves into darker territory. And I gotta say, we've just talked two records that I absolutely adore. Chalk it up to three that I adore. This is an episode where, you know, listener out there, get into all of this, dive into the playlist, and then go further from there to order all of these records, because it's just, it's so good. And it looks like on their Bandcamp that they just put a Blitz cover up on that just came out in August. So I haven't listened to that yet, but I'm really interested to listen to that. So,
yeah, everyone, there's a playlist for every episode, 185milesouth.com. Click that playlist link at the top of the page. Also, it's on Spotify. You can find us, 185milesouth. Check it out. Brute, the self-titled EP out of Australia. Not sure where, but repping for the whole island. So respect. Okay, let's go on to the last. What's that?
These damn convicts.
Dude, that's what's up. That's true. Hey, know your history. Okay, let's go to the last thing we're going to talk. It is a band called Boot Camp out of Iowa City. They put out Demo 23, and it's a cassette. On Pokey's Records. So shout out to Pokey's Records. Shout out to Pokey's Mexican Food in San Diego.
Yeah.
And I should say, I heard this on Demo Listen, another hardcore podcast, which I enjoy. And yeah, this came on and I was like, what the fuck is going on here? this recording is completely psychopathic. It just sounds like it's surging. And I sent this to Roger, and I was like, Roger, what the hell's going on here? You know? And he thinks it's the kick drum is like super blown out and loud. And then like, it's a combination of the bass guitar being panned all the way to the right. And then in the mastering, like everything gets squeezed together. So it just gets like totally wonk. And I don't know if this is like intentional or not. And yeah, but let's get into it. Like, I think the way this sounds is just so psycho that I love it. And, the songwriting is like really good. Like, these aren't like basic hardcore riffs. They're actually like, they're not intricate, but like, there's like one step beyond like a normal, like, you know, you know, like it's like one step beyond that, like beyond what I can write, you know? And then, there's cool shit. Like the intro on that Consume song, like that Dead Kennedys ass intro is super ill. Also the singer here, they really do a great job of like letting the songs breathe. And also they have a great voice and great lyrics. Like if you go into the lyrics on that last song, Pillory, it's really sick. Cause like it's pretty poetic, like lyrically most of the song, but then like in the final like bracket of lyrics, like they really like hit the nail on the head. So like, there's no missing what they're singing about, like, which is sick. You know, like I love it. I love that, like, you know, they can write like good lyrics, but then like tie it all at the end. Like, this isn't like coded messages and slowed down songs. You know what I mean? It's like, here's exactly what we're writing about. You know, like, I fucking love it. This is great. I'm of two minds because this sounds so wild in a way. And part of me loves that about this, that it just sounds fucking weird. But also like, I think that these songs are so good and the performances are so good. I almost wish that they would take this to someone and like fix the mastering, like the wildness of it, and just get to hear it with like a good recording. Because yeah, if I don't know, Dan, does that make sense? Like this record, like it's kind of notable because of how it sounds, but I actually think it might even be better if it didn't sound that way. I don't know. What do you think?
It might lose the charm is kind of the wrong word, but the kind of like thing that makes it so good at the same time. What's interesting about it is the first time you listen to it, you're like, I don't like this recording. And then by third time you listen to it, you're like, oh, I'm fucking into it, you know? And is that because the songs win you over? And how good they are and how great the vocals are and all of that? Or is it because you actually just get into the, did you just hear Reggie burp?
Yeah, respect.
Because you get into it, like you get on their wavelength. Like, is it something along that? Like you get what they're going for with like this production presentation. I'm really glad you brought up Pillory, lock her up, lock her. I'm really glad you brought the song Pillory up because it is a lyrical like masterpiece. It's delivered in such a great way. The vocalist, the way they play with their voice on this song is really good. Like going from aggressive to almost like in a attitude filled spoken present, you know, vocal performance in parts. But yeah, like you say, the way that, the way it just savages, the incessant need for people to understand other people's gender presentations at the end is just so fucking great. It's just such a statement of power. It's fantastic. And the song Protégé, I can't remember what famous song it has me thinking of. I will let Chris talk about this demo for a second. I'm going to go sneak my headphones on and listen to that again, and I'm going to tell you what famous song it makes me think of.
All right.
Yeah. I don't know, the songwriting here is just really good. Like, they don't get lazy, right? Like, they tack on things, like even like the last 10 seconds of the song that are like, just, I don't know, they're putting a lot into these songs. You can tell, like, this is a really good band. Chris, what do you think about this?
Yeah, I dig it a lot too. I had never heard of this before, before Zach, you put it on this playlist, and I think it's really good. The production and the first song, but maybe mostly the production, reminds me of the 97A 7-inch. Like, it just sounds like, and that was maybe like a product of the studios that were available at the time in, you know, whatever year it might have been, 96. But yeah, this sounds like that. It just sounds like a buzzsaw, and like the production's so raw, and I think it works for them. Like, I will often go back to that 97A 7-inch because of the one thing that it's missing that the 97A 7-inch has is like the gang vocals that kind of break up the buzzsaw. So that's like the thing. That's the thing that I love about my 97A is it just like buzzsaw, and then there's these gang vocals that bring you out of it for a second. Sorry, not this is a podcast about 97A, but that's what this reminded me of. It just sounds burly, and Zach, I like how you presented it, where you were like, I don't really know what it is. Like, I have to ask someone who knows. But yeah, it's really cool. And then like the first song is kind of more blazing, like a 97A song, and then it kind of takes a turn to some other different things. Like, there's a lot going on here. There's fast, there's kind of more danglering beats, there's some straight up boot beats. I don't know, it's like you said, really well done. What were you gonna say?
I'm just laughing at the genre maker just dropping in boots, dangle, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. No, I think this is really cool. I think, I don't know if either of you mentioned this, but I think they're from Iowa City, maybe?
Someone, Iowa City.
Yeah, which is awesome. I think a couple of pods ago, we were talking about how like a band like Modern Life is War really kind of came out of nowhere and like put that, you know, their town on the map. And it's always really cool to see bands rise up out of cities where you don't see like a million bands from, you know, like you hear an awesome band like this and you're like, oh, they're not from Florida or, you know, Philadelphia or LA. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. Super sick. Yeah. Shout out to Modern Life is War. Brought us to Marshalltown, Iowa in 2002. We played a show. So, hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm of two minds of this. Like, I loved it initially because the recording is so psycho. And then now it's like, I love the song so much, I want to hear them with like a straight recording. Cause I think that the recording's going to turn like most people off of this thing. And it, you know, cause it sounds like almost ridiculous. So I don't know. I would just say, dudes in boot camp, your band rules. And, yeah, I want to hear more and I want to hear these songs. So yeah, maybe re-record. I don't know what the fuck. I don't know what I think.
I think the blown out is a choice because, okay, I went and listened to Protégé. So that song starts out with the guitar just going no 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 like that, and then when everything else comes in, it's like then it goes to blown out because when the guitar's by itself, it sounds raw and clear and everything.
It's the kick drum and the bass feuding.
Yes. Oh right? Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. When everything else comes in, it goes.
Right. And well, so like Roger was saying, it's like maybe like they did like an AI mastering, you know, like this podcast, like I record it and then like I edit it and I like mix it in like a mixing software. But then I use like an AI mastering that kind of like evens it all out and like, you know, makes it loud, you know? So yeah. Like maybe like this shit is just so psycho, like the way it went through. Cause also I don't have headphones that I can get like oh, the bass is like panned way to the right. Like, Dan, I don't know if you know this, but like if you listen to the first Ramones, like Ryan used to have a stereo in his bedroom, right? That you could like pan like all the way left or all the way right. Yeah. When you listen to the first Ramones record, the bass is all the way one way and the guitar is all the way one way, right? So like this is kind of like that in the way that I guess like the bass is all the way off to the right. I just don't have any speakers that I can fucking tell that on. Like either Roger has speakers like that or he has the ear for it. So I think that like whatever software here might be like, what the fuck is happening? And it's trying to even something out in a way that doesn't work and like makes it totally wonk.
All right. Are you ready for my tell you what song protege the vocal, the guitar melody does? That it is straight up this in my head. You can tell me if I'm wrong or right after whatever.
Yep.
So the guitar comes, like the main guitar comes in, the rhythm guitar plays that when it comes in, but then the lead comes in and the lead is essentially doing, I'm hot-blooded, check it and see. I got a fever of 103. Straight up, the lead is like doing that Foreigner song, Hot-Blooded. It's dude, so sick.
It really is. Yeah, but it takes a piece of that, right? And it's like. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's sick. But you're right. It's like taking a fucking sample of it and looping it, right?
Yeah, it's like it's probably just came up with a sick guitar line, but it is the vocal melody of Hot-Blooded, at least a segment of it. Because I was like, what is that song? And then I put it back on and I'm like, oh, that's what it is.
Well, hell yeah. All right, everyone, Boot Camp, demo 23. Check it out. Check it out on the playlist and yeah, support the shit.
The fight lasts for hours, each ram battering the other dozens of times.
Head to head.
All right, we are going head to head. This time around, we are doing two comps, Volume 1 and Volume 2. We're talking The Worldwide Tribute to the Real Oi, Volume 1, and The Worldwide Tribute to the Real Oi, Volume 2. Volume 1 came out in the year 2000, and I think the second one followed it shortly after. I don't have it in front of me. But, dude, these comps are awesome. I had them both back when, and, you know, I think that generally, like, cover comps, when they come out, suck, you know, mostly. And then these ones were, like, the fuck, like this rips. And also, like, you know, in the year 2000, 2001, 2002, some of this stuff was like kind of easy to get, but a lot of it wasn't. So like a lot of this was like, you know, hearing some of these songs for the first time, and some of these versions are amazing. So let's get into it. Dan, overall thoughts on these two comps?
Oh yeah. When the first one came out, like I got it almost instantly, and then, you know, listened to it over a few years. And it's funny, when OMDB went to Europe, and Holland was our first stop, and we went and met Onno Cromag at his MMA gym. And I was just like, dude, you put together that like comp with Roger, and I love it so much. And he's like, oh yeah, you skinhead. That's my Dutch accent. I'm like, no, but you know, I've always loved skinhead music. And he was just like telling us all kinds of like PSV Eindhoven hooligan stories and all kinds of stuff. But sorry for that digression. Let me get back on track. The first one, I've spent so much time with this because, like I say, when it first came out, like I had it on CD, then acquired the vinyl as soon as I could from there. And it just comes out the gate. Well, it comes out the gate horrendously terrible and then moves into greatness. It's so funny because such students to the game that AF is, I think they miss on Take 'Em All, which is, I mean, it's hard to do that song because it was done like imperiously by Coxborough, but you know, your boys Northern Towns covered it and did it well. I just don't think it's lining up with this AF cover, but
it's hard, right? Because that's like an all-time song, and yeah. It and what makes that song so great is like the dynamics, right? It's almost like the way that, you know, this is a terrible comp, but like, you know, like a band, like all those like alternative bands in the early 90s, like they would do like the soft allowed, you know, and like that was like a real thing, you know, like, oh, do a soft verse, then a loud chorus. It's kind of like that in a way where it's like, dun, 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 and then like the big chorus, take them all. Like you have to like, you want to like bounce and bounce your head. You know what I mean? Like those dynamics, Coxborough pulls them off in like such a perfect way. And it's just, it's hard to capture that because like everything about that song is perfect.
Well,
you know, including the recording and the performances and everything, you know,
the thing that lets this down is that I think AF and Roger in particular is trying to maintain that you can hear that it's Agnostic Front doing this. So he's doing, you know, a soft version of his AF vocal, and it just, it's just a miss. He would be better if he was like just straight up aping Coxborough to an extent. But anyway.
Let me jump in though, because so because you don't like this one and I don't love it either. I do think their Suburban Rebels cover is great. I love that one. So shout out AF. Yeah, jump into it, Dan.
Yeah. There are so many good choices too. You know, when it's called the Worldwide Tribute to the Real Oi, there's a lot of American bands and a lot of European bands on this, which is great. And there are lots of good music, I mean, song choices. Like, some of the bands have really selected, like, fantastic choices, like top-tier Oi songs from the catalogs of some of the greats. I think it is stronger on, well, if we're going vinyl, the A and B sides over the C and D sides, but it's so good. Do we want to get into all of these different bands that are on here, or do we want to just kind of
just pluck out, like, we're just talking in general and then we'll get into our favorite songs. The other thing I want to say about, you know, AF maybe not knocking it out of the park on Take 'Em All, like that just being like such a hard song to do because it's so classic. I think that Oxymoron has one of the best songs on this record with The Whole World Is Going Insane, but like them going after like doing New Age, like I don't think that works. Like New Age is like too iconic a song, like, again, like the performance, the recording, the vibe, everything about it, like it's an impossible song to cover.
Do you know what though? Pressure Point kill New Age. But yes, I agree with you. Like it, there's,
I'm just saying, like, you have a band that's like doing one of like the most spectacular songs on the record, like that first Oxymoron song, and then the second one I don't think hits. So it's just song selection is so gnarly on like a cover comp, right? Because like you want to do a big song because you want to do one of the most memorable songs on the record, but also like it's like big risk, big reward, right? Like you can also like miss, you know, like for instance, like Bouncing Souls, them doing We're Coming Back is like so close, right? Like if you listen to it, it's like, damn, they actually like got really close, but it's like, yeah, but you're trying to do We're Coming Back, bro. So it's like you're taking a song that's a 10 and like you're doing it as an 8, which is like pretty commendable. Like you didn't whiff. Like you did like real justice to the song. But it's just like you're doing a slightly sorrier version, you know? Like, and it's just, I don't know. Like that's the chance you take when you swing at that big song. I don't know. What do you think, Dan?
Yeah, I think that's a really good idea, but you know, then you get surprised by like Discipline take on Running Riot, and they give it a gruffer version of it, and it really works. Like, I mean, they nail the music, and then the gruffness gives you a different take on it, because why wouldn't you just listen to the original? You're trying to listen to hardcore bands do these Oi songs, so you want to hear a little bit of that in there. You don't want it to be like straight up, like, you know, the exact thing. Now, the ultimate standout on this is Madball doing Violence in Our Minds and flipping the lyrics to Jeans Hang Down, No Need for Braces. Like, so smart, so clever. Oi, oi. And then later on, like, doing, you know, the oi, oi, DMS skinhead, get your hair cut, like, chant. And it's just, that's what you want. You want the charisma and attitude of the hardcore and punk bands that are doing the covers, bringing something to the classic pastiche, and then like giving you a little different taste of it. And I think that works so good there.
Yeah, it's sick, dude. So sick. Chris, overall thoughts?
Man, you guys have done such a good job covering these. I don't know if I have anything smart to add, but I think first thing I want to call out actually is, so my first exposure to this, to the first comp, volume one, is this came out kind of during the Napster age. And so anyone who was around during that era, you know, it was one of the early places where you could find songs on the internet that you didn't have, and like download the MP3s, and it would take hours for them to get loaded up. But once they were, you would have these songs and you could put them on your iPod. And a lot of times, because it took hours and you had to download them from someone else that you were like connected to that had the songs and were sharing them with you. And so like, if they went offline, then the songs would pause. And like, so the product that you would end up was, it was kind of this era where music came from being a thing that was, you know, we talk about LPs and how they're constructed as this living thing that goes from track A all the way to the end and flows to having bits and pieces of records and just like random songs off of a record because they finished downloading first before the other person, you know, got offline and it like timed out. So like this comp is a good kind of like stands out in my head as a good example of like a lot of just random songs that I somehow ended up with on my iPod. It's such a different era, and it was really a short-lived era, but Metallica, if you're listening to this, please don't sue me.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, Madball, Violence in Our Minds is the standout track on either of these. Blind Justice is actually really good too. Like, I think Madball just crushes both of those. Kill Your Idols cover of Work Together is awesome. Like, this is a good example of kind of what Zach was saying, where you don't pick like a tier A, you know, ultimate hit, and you can kind of just crush it and make it your own, and it doesn't have to compete with the original. Oxymoron, The World's going Insane, maybe better than the original. I don't know. It's really good. The recording's certainly better. Discipline, Running Riot was another one that I called out, and for the exact same reason that Dan did, just like hearing this Coxspire song done with more grit and more, you know, gruffness, but still hitting those notes, like hitting every melody, is really, really well done. I also liked Awkward Thoughts, GLC. Less A tier, but like really cool to see is cool to see The Business kind of taking it, you know, flip side to the other side of the ocean and covering Crucified. And then, you know, Last Resort doing Skinhead Girl Warrior. Neither of these are my favorite tracks on these comps, but like, I think it's really cool to see, you know, that love reciprocated back to the side of the pond.
Yeah, sick. Okay, so we made top five lists here. Dan's top five is this. Number one to number five, Madball, Violence in Our Minds, Beans, Propaganda, Kill Your Idols, Work Together, Roger Merritt and the Disasters, Bad Man, Blood for Blood, Ultra Violence. Chris's top five was Madball, Violence in Our Minds, Kill Your Idols, Work Together, Oxymoron, The World's Going Insane, Discipline, Running Riot, and Awkward Thought, GLC. My top five were Madball, Violence in Our Minds, Oxymoron, The Whole World is Going Insane, Beans, Propaganda, Blood for Blood, Ultra Violence, and rounded it out. Dude, the Rikers cover of No Surrender is so fucking savage. Like, talk about taking a song and putting it in your own style and actually having it work. Like, what the fuck? There's like
double
so much
bass.
There's so much double kick on this, so I had to put it on just for Ben.
It Stamping is so, Ground also do that with Where Have All the Boot Boys Gone? Like that,
they do, but here's the difference. I think the Rikers one really works, and the Stamping Ground one really doesn't work. the Stamping Ground is one of my least favorite on the record. Although they sound great, you know, and it's cool. I mean, like they totally took it and put it in their own style, so respect for that. I just think that Never Surrender is such a straightforward song. You know, it's Blitz doing a straight hardcore punk song. It's kind of easy to take it. You know, Riker's probably got first pick. Like, you know, who knows? Anyway, averaging that all together, here is our list, our combined list. Madball, Violence in Our Minds, all our number ones. Kill Your Idols and Oxymoron tied for number two. Beans, Propaganda, and then rounding it out, Blood for Blood, Ultra Violence. And Chris, you called out Discipline doing Running Riot. That was probably my number six. Same. So, like, dude, that's so good. But let's get into these top five. Madball, Violence in Our Minds, we've all talked it a little bit. All-time classic cover. So good. And then, also, like, rounding it out, like, with the outtake shit, you know, and putting it in their own. Like, that's from, like, the Combat 84 split, I think.
They arguably have taken the best two songs from the bands that they're covering as well.
Fair, you know. Kill Your Idols, Work Together. Do you feel like you talked this enough, Dan? What's your take on this one?
Well, I think this is so good. There's some people who are maybe not going to know The Oppressed as much as some of these other like top tier oi bands. We had a really fun discussion in our group chat about A-level oi bands versus A-level punk and hardcore, and that there's a way bigger in top tier hardcore bands, there's a lot more bands to choose from, whereas in top tier oi there's like just a, you know, about eight like really top tier oi bands. So
but you gotta say, like, that second tier of oi bands, like, they can do level one songs. Like,
that's what I think I said that in the chat, is that a lot of these oi bands, like, especially because of the, you know, Oi of Sex and, you know, Carry On Oi and all of these like comps where their best song is on the comp, you'll know, like, for example, Menace are a good band, but GLC is so much better than all their other songs, you know? So, but what's really good about that, getting back to that Kill Your Idols, Work Together song, it's almost like, you know, this is the right sound for Kill Your Idols. This is exactly what they should be sounding like, like doing this Oppressed cover, because the layered backups and the way Andy's voice sounds on this is just so good. And I mean, this is just such an amazing chorus, like on the original by The Oppressed, and it just lends itself perfectly to Kill Your Idols.
Yeah, so number three of our combined list is The Whole World is Going. Let me see. I got it here.
No, it's Beans in it.
No, our number three was Oxymoron. The Whole World is Going Insane. Beans is number four.
Okay.
Maybe it was a tie. No. It was a tie for two. Kill Your Idols and Oxymoron. Dude, I never heard this original before, to be honest with you. I'm going to get it. This is like one of those ones where Oxymoron, to my ears, like went for a more obscure song, and like, god damn, I love this song. So, I mean, I'm kind of a poser for not trying to track down the original, I guess. But yeah, I think we all agree this was on all our lists. Beans doing propaganda. Damn, that made both our lists. This is one of the ones where I was like, God damn, that's insane to go after this Blitz song because it's so fuzzy and like so much of propaganda is like the recording, in my opinion. And so for them to attack it, I mean, I can't believe they pulled it off. Like, this is a masterful cover of them just like playing this song straight, but somehow knocking it out of the park. What do you think?
Oh, it's incredible. I have never heard of this band before, you know, before I was into these comps, and they nail it on both of their songs, but especially on this one. They kill this song.
Yeah.
And I hate the band name.
The worst band name, right? But
yeah, what are you gonna do? It's just so stupid. And then when, you know, like I looked them up a long time ago, they're like a ska punk band from Holland, I think, or at least that's when back in the day when I should look them up right now. But I would say that they are damn near the star of the second volume because both of their songs, they crush, but they do Blitz so like honorably while still not making it just sound just like Blitz, you know?
Yeah, I love both the Powerhouse songs on the second one also.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and definitely. Then you pulled off one of the Disaster songs, right? One of you guys did?
Yeah, they do Bad Man by Cockney Rejects, which has arguably the best guitar riff in Oi. Like, well, that's saying something because there's a million.
Oh, but that's on the second one. That's the one where Harley's singing, I think, Dan.
What?
Yeah, I think someone else is singing on that. I don't know if it's Roger. It's billed as Harley, Cro-Mag, and Friends.
What? For Bad Man?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was it's listed on the thing as Roger Murray and the Disasters.
I think it got listed like differently both times. Like, I don't know. Anyway, I don't mean to confuse.
Oh yeah, Harley, Cro-Mag, and Friends, yeah.
It's weird. Probably a disaster. It's like recorded the music, right? And then Harley sang
and
it.
And had Harley sing. Well, he kills it because,
dude,
it's really good.
Yeah, so good. And the other one is like Vision doing Where Are They Now? Obviously not as good as Coxbar, but like that's one where it could have been an easy whiff. Like, oh, and actually it's pretty good. You know, yeah. I think they do a pretty good job on both their songs. So, yeah, the second volume is good. But if I'm choosing one or two, I'm one all day. How do you feel, Dan?
Yeah, I'm the same. But there are some exceptional highlights on two, and it is definitely worth having in your collection as well. It's interesting with thinking about the Last Resort doing Skinhead Girl Warrior. It's so like. It's so cool that they did that.
It's so cool, you know, but it's such a miss. It's such a miss because, like, he doesn't do the ad-lib shit. She's my skinhead girl, my skinhead. He doesn't do any of, like, the ad-lib shit, and it's like that's what makes that song.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, that song is
it's you don't great, like it. You don't like it. I love it. I love
no,
it.
No, I do love it because I shouldn't. Do you know what I mean?
No, you like, should. It's so good.
It's so it's just so like held over by the charisma, like you say. The thing about it though, it's just so rad to know that like Last Resort and Business, because you know, when these bands would go to Europe and stuff, that they would go and do these tours and they just became like strong friends through many, many years of playing together. Hence like Roy from Last Resort doing the Gotta Go, which seems like they just served him up the original recording and just took Roger's vocal off and let him do the vocals on it because the backups sound like perfectly like the original. But yeah, I'm volume one all the way. It's the one thing that we haven't mentioned from volume two is Ignite doing these songs, but Zolying their brains out on them, like doing the Jinx, which for some reason the riff on the original Peter and the Test Tube Babies sounds so good, but on the Ignite cover, I don't quite like it. And then they do Maradona, your shit, like a modern business song, which it cracked me up, but I did enjoy it because it's like Zoli, like full operatic Maradona performance. But yeah, volume one for me.
Dude, Maradona rules. So like I'm bummed on that song. Also, the Jinx, like, God, I love the verses and I hate that chorus. So I think both the Ignite songs are kind of a miss for me. Chris, are you volume one or volume two?
I'm volume one. Yeah, there's just so much more that I keep going back to. That said, that Beans cover is great. I did look on Discogs, and yeah, they're a ska punk band from Netherlands, 96 to 2006. They have 152 monthly listeners on Spotify.
Wild.
Dude, let me ask you both one quick question before we wrap this. If there was one band and one cover song that hasn't been chosen yet from the Oi catalog, so you get to pair one band with one Oi song that you just wish would happen, what would it be to be on volume three?
Dude, I want In Control, our version of Razors in the Night on here. We fucking nailed it.
Yeah, you did. And who asked you to do that?
You did, and then you left me hanging with your side of the deal. Because Overrided Body was supposed to cover Burn, and you guys never did.
Oh, you're right.
Damn.
Blame Rob.
okay, Chris, what do you think? What would be your dream song for Volume 3?
Deadweight's cover of Never Surrender. No, we did used to cover that song live, but never recorded it. I don't know, like... What's that?
I said, I bet you did it better than Rikers as well.
No way.
There wasn't a double bass, but...
No disrespect to the Rikers version, but I just know if my main man, Chris, is involved, it's just becoming upper echelon.
A little disrespect there. Dan might get pounded when he goes to Europe. Hey,
I'm in Germany right now.
Just to clear the air, Chris did not say that, who's currently in Europe. Chris loves the Rikers song.
We were actually supposed to play with Rikers last time we went to Europe, but the time before, and unfortunately that there was a COVID spike and we had to cancel it, so it was a bummer. We were supposed to play Berlin with them, so shout out to them, killer band. Hopefully I see them in Berlin.
My choice would be, because I am obviously the trivia champ, it would be Questions and Answers Sham 69 as covered by Change Hardcore.
All right, we're going to do One's Gotta Go on four records that came out in either 96 or 97, all Roots Hardcore, Youth Crew Revival shit. We're putting Rain on the Parade, the Body Bag 7-inch from 1996, Contention Records, Up versus Atari, We'll Be Fighting 7-inch, Teamwork Records 1997, Up against Hands Tied, self-titled 7-inch, Equal Vision Records 1996, Up against Rancor, Flip the Switch, 7-inch, Young Blood Records, 1997. Respect. All these are on Spotify, so everyone get into it. These are four 7-inches that I have that I love. This is brutal, having to lose one of these. I don't know. So you guys can go first. Chris, what do you think about this?
Brutal. But easy, I think. And not because... three are better than one, but three are more firmly planted in nostalgia for me than the fourth. In fact, the fourth might be the objectively best of these four. One's gotta go. I'm gonna take the Hands Tied record and I'm gonna throw it out. Just because, even though it's a banger, even though it's really well done, even though it has like such a cool intensity, just like the Atari, the Rancor, and the Rain on the Parade were such like nostalgic foundations for that era for me, that I can't live without any of these three. And side note, all three of these were pretty recently added to Spotify, like within the last year. So shout out Sean, shout out Contention or whoever got the Rain on the Parade body bag record up. And yeah, I think, you know, for this hardcore kid that came up when I came up and was a lover of this style of music, also a former temporary resident of Northern Liberties, Philadelphia, I got to go with the three PAHC bands over the NJHC. No disrespect to Hands Tied. If it was Mouthpiece, it probably would have been a lot harder just because of the nostalgic factor. The Innocents and I don't know. The Innocents is the best term that I can use of Atari and Rancor is just so pure. Like, you listen to this and straight edge, hardcore pride, unity. These are the three most important things in the entire world and nothing else matters. Like, the delivery and urgency of how they approach these topics is asinine, but like, you're right there, you know? And then with Rain on the Parade, the tongue is firmly in cheek. It's sarcastic as all get out, but cleverly done. Those three 7-inches just have something that I don't want like the history of hardcore to be without. And Rancor is the one that I referenced earlier when I was talking about like hooks that are so like cheesy and nursery rhymey-ish at times that they're just brilliant. And like, you know them after you hear them, you know, these X's on my hand mean I won't take part. These X's on my hands will stay inside my heart. Like, those lines, once you hear them once, you know them and you're ready to dogpile. And like, that was like what made Rancor a way better band than they actually were. So yeah, I'm taking the Hand Side 7-inches. The one's got to go. I love all four of these, but that's the choice for me, purely nostalgia.
Yeah, this was a fail on my part then. I was hoping that, because I'm going to go the same, and I'll explain myself. Choosing the fourth record was hard. That's why I talked to you guys in the group chat. I was like, do either of you guys love either the Fast Break 7-inches? I was thinking, like, that's of the era. Like, I don't like any either of those. So, like, if you guys picked one of those, like, that would have been a good thing to toss in. And I think this Hands Tied 7-inch is spectacular. Chris is saying the same thing. In fact, I agree with Chris. Like, if I was looking at this objectively, this is the best band out of the four. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's solid. All four songs are great. The snare sound is so good. Tim's voice is so good. Especially on the first song when he goes from kind of like, you know, his singing voice to like his shouting voice, like the dynamics he lays out are so good. And then, yeah. I mean, if I was going to knock the 7-inch, sometimes like the vocals get a little repeaty on the breakdowns would be like my one thing to say against it. The other three are just like all time classic of the era for me. Similar to what Chris has said, like, it's not because they're the best records, but like, they are maybe the most charming records of the era. Rain on the Parade, again, with Chris saying like the tongue is in the cheek, like, you're correct. Although like, there is like a little bit of meanness here too. Like, how, you know, we've talked about Floor Punch, like, it's at its best when it's like a little mean. That's still here. Rain on the Parade totally falls off the stick. The LP sucks. And like, those songs on the Super Soul comp are like so jokey, and like, so they kind of lose it. They lose the plot. I think the first two 7-inches are great, and then it kind of falls apart. But this is all time, right? Like, that breakdown on Resolution, all time. Three chords with four chords, epic. You know, Body Bag, all time classic song. And then I love the last song, how it closes out, On My Mind. It's one of my favorite songs ever. You know, You're Fucking Meek. so like biting, you know, and to end it with like that short blazer, like that's what this stuff needs. Like you don't need to have a breakdown in every song. The Atari 7-inch, I could never lose it because Octavio, you know, one of the gods of this podcast, you know, and I always remember the 7-inch as being like just a straight scissor beat 7-inch. And listening to it again, I had my headphones in. I was at Foo for Less and I was like, the fuck? Is he doing double time on some of this? And I think he is, like on Up Front and Between Us. I think the drummer's doing a straight double time beat, which is wild because he's actually a good drummer. Like I thought this was like, they're just doing like the scissor beat because the drummer sucks. And like, they're doing like the best cheap beat you can when you're in and out like fast. But apparently he can play like a good fast beat, which like makes me love this even more that they went full YOLO on the scissor beat songs just to go a little bit faster than the guy can play. Like what the fuck? I love it. You know, we love Octavio. He's up on that pedestal for playing an octave every single second of this record. Respect to him. Shout out to the God, the only one I bow to in this world. Okay. On to the Rancor 7-inch. Again, it's just so charming. You know what I mean? Like, and this thing, when we're talking about hooks, this is hooks aplenty. Like Chris said, the X is on my hand, meaning I won't take part. The X is on my hand, I'll stay inside my heart. So good. But also, like, you know, on Peace of Mind, like, God, that song's a fucking ripper. And just going into that chorus, like, you wear a mask every day, hide yourself from the people you betray. Or, like, how about the second song, like that stop song? You know, mid-tempo banger. So you think a hardcore show is a place for a fight? Leave your attitude at home, hope the kids unite. There's a time and a place, but it sure isn't here. When you come and do a show, there should be nothing to fear. Stop. Stop the fighting. So good. Could have cut it in half. Didn't need to repeat, but what can you do? And the only knock I would give to this record is two mid-tempo songs back-to-back. Nah, dude. Okay, side B, that fast riff on Still Holding On is so good. And the Friendship Gang, so good. I love it. And then I won't take part. Last song, best song. Can't lose it. So I got to lose the hands tied. And it hurts because I was hoping that maybe this one would be all over the map. Dan, bail us out. What's your take?
So it's almost like both of you have been reading off of my notepad to an extent. But hey, let me give you some different things. With Rain on the Parade and Hands Tied, it's almost like more adult. And with Atari and Rancor, you're getting just wide-eyed, childlike sincerity of just, this is the most important thing to me in the world. I never want to stomp that out. So those two have to go through because just the lyrics to Up Front, like, you know, needing to be up front, it's like the most important thing in the world, like Chris said. Like, it fucking is. When you feel hardcore in your heart and you know, in your first few years of just being able to express it through, you know, the band that you're doing, maybe your first band or your second band, and you are writing songs about what hardcore means to you, and it comes out that sincere and that urgent and that celebratory, that's the best feeling in the world. Like, that has to be celebrated. And, you know, of course, shout out to Octavio, but Up Front and I Won't Take Part, like, those are just saying, like, this is everything in my world right now, and I never want to stomp that out of anything. So then you go to the two more mature records. It is undeniable that the Hands Tied is crafted in a lab to be a much more serious version of the other versions of the Youth Crew sentiment that is being, because this person has done a band and done another band, and there's so much maturity there, and there is so much talent and song crafting of putting together like the backups in the perfect parts, like I do it for you, for you, like they've done so well. Ken Olden writes a fucking riff, like everything about it is so good and it is so urgent. And it, like, when you said one's got to go, I want the person who put all four of these records to go, because you don't want to get rid of one of these. But then you flip that against Rain on the Parade, which isn't as polished, but is so clever. Like, they are, or Ronnie Little is writing songs in a way that nobody has come at these topics in this manner, and doing it with just a total sly sarcasm, but also, you know, for the song Eating Crow, I'm an Edgeman, I will mock a sellout, you know, like, it, you know, it is what it is. But Eating Crow, how fucking, I thought this song was geniusly written. It's very simple, but geniusly written at the time of being able to put your hands up and say, yo, I was young when I said this, and now I've gone against it, and I, you know, I'm here to admit it. Like, you know, what are the lines? Like, I was 15, made the promise, I took the oath, 8 years later, I'm eating crow.
Time to, like, be a man, admit my mistakes, time to put an end, put an end to the charade. I'm not talking about truth, don't ask. I'm not thinking that far ahead or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It,
I mean, he's almost so assigning more importance to the subject than a band that is straight edge singing about straight edge.
Exactly. So, I mean, what I love about it is the same way that back when you drank and stuff, you were like, straight edge hardcore is like some of my favorite music ever. And when someone would sell out, you'd be like, fuck them. Even though you weren't edge at the time, you know, like, I do love that it contextualizes how great something is while, you know, hey, I'm a sellout, I'm not just going to fade away in this scene, I'm still here to contribute, you know. And then Body Bag, Jesus Christ, especially it's so hard for younger people to contextualize what the influence of metal was doing to people who just wanted straight up roots hardcore and metal sync. I mean, just listen to Ben talk for 20 minutes and you'll kind of get an idea. But what a clever, hilarious take on it. You know, just so good. Like, send it back to the long hairs in a body bag about metal. Brilliant. So good. Brilliant. And then three chords, like those three songs in a row, on the 7-inch, that's just so perfect. The three chords is all I need. It just says it all. It's just coming at this in a way. And, you know, it's the same thing for me. At the time, I liked Rain on the Parade, Rancor, and Atari so much more at the time. But Hands Tied over time has grown and grown and grown on me, but just still is outside the gates. Those three are just so fucking good. So unfortunately, Hands Tied has to go. But I want to stress to everyone listening to this, it is an amazing record, and it is so shameful that we have to be tossing it out, but it's up against these three formative, amazing 97 things. Why couldn't you have put Where Fear and Weapons Meet up against?
Well, you know what I should have done is I should have put the second Rain on the Parade 7-inch instead of Body Bag, maybe, and that would have been closer. Because
the second one.
What's that?
I said Hands Tied would have beat the second Rain on the Parade 7-inch.
Yeah, so that would have been a better Agreed. Challenge. That's what I should have done. I still would have taken Rain on the Parade because I love that second one almost as much as Body Bag. But yeah, maybe that would have been more even. God damn it, I fucked up. What are you going to do?
No, I think it's because I want to talk. I want people who've never heard this Body Bag EP to really go seek it out and just fucking love it.
Right. I think I was just excited that all this stuff was on Spotify. Anyway, we got to wrap. We're at 2 hours. Chris, final thoughts on this episode.
Thanks for having me on. As always, love talking hardcore with y'all, and appreciate anyone that, you know, will repeatedly listen to us three bozos pontificate about our love for this thing and we love you all.
Hell yeah. Dan, final thoughts on the episode.
Listeners are so psyched because we are serving up some things if they haven't heard it yet. Some of the new music we've presented tonight, amazing. The two Oi comps, really great, really fun to listen to. And then all four of these EPs we're talking about in The One's Gotta Go are upper echelon hardcore. So dive in, listeners, and love hardcore like we do.
Hell yeah. Dan, where can the people find you?
At Southport Instagrammer on Instagram.
Chris, where can people find you, and where can they get details of where you are at in Europe right now?
At ChrisWilliams51 on Instagram for my personal social. For change dates or anything change related, go to @changehardcore.
Hell yeah. Everyone get at me, 185milessouth@gmail.com. I respond to everyone. Also, 185milessouth on Instagram, on Twitter, and on Threads. And my personal, Zach Retaliate, Instagram. And you know, Retaliate is the best on Instagram. Everyone, we love you all. We love the Patreons a tad bit more. And we'll talk to them all next Monday. Respect. Peace.